Today, I'm going to be talking about the one strength principle that no one talks about. I'm going to be talking about the strength continuum, specifically why it's a game changer for both coaches and athletes and why they need to understand it. And one of the biggest mistakes in programming is that people tend to skip steps in the continuum. I'm also going to be talking about the how to master the power time curve, which makes training more effective. If you don't know me, I'm Matt Benward. I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California with my wife, Caitlin. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Again, if you're first joining us, I'm doing one podcast a week for the next year on program design. This is what I would say is the thing I know most about when it comes to my knowledge of strength conditioning and CrossFit. And in the last I've coached for the last 17 years, and I've owned my gym for the last 13 years. In Huntington Beach. And over that time, I've helped over 10,000 people over the course of my career hit their fitness goals. And I couldn't be more proud to do what I do. And I love what I do. So can't wait to share this with you today. And this is something that I actually can't believe I've overlooked and haven't done a podcast on this yet. But we're still early in the year. It's only February. So we got plenty more to go. So let's get right into it. So what is the strength continuum? So the strength continuum is defined as a classification of exercises based on the contraction, speed, and intensity. So what does that mean? If I could just break this down simply, it just simply means that we start off slow and then we move to fast. That's the simplest way I can put it. And what we're looking at here specifically is the power time curve. So moving from slow and heavy, which is also known as absolute strength, to fast and light, so absolute speed. So you can see that there's a continuum there, and then you have to follow the continuum in order to see the maximum benefits. And then if you progress too quickly on this, this is where people get injured. So for example, a good example of this in the CrossFit context is simply people doing kipping pull-ups before they could do strict pull-ups, because we have to be slow and heavy and have strength before we add ballistics or add speed, which is the kipping pull-up. And that's why people get injured. And this is exactly why the strength continuum needs to be applied for all coaches, regardless of what discipline you're in. And why progressing left to right is the key for maximizing performance, because not only does it prevent injury, it just simply makes things easier as you move down the continuum on down the road. So let's go over the four stages of the continuum. So the first one is absolute strength. Okay. So in my last podcast, we talk about front end strength. I kind of refer to it as front end strength in that 1 to 5 rep range. That's what we're talking about here with the slow lifts. And then we're moving on to strength speed. Okay. So now we're adding kind of some ballistics to that. And that's when we start incorporating a little bit more of the Olympic lifts. And then we add speed strength. So that's when we start adding more like plyometrics and everything. And absolute speed being total sprints, all out sprints. So and that's usually for like, you know, running sprints, sprints on the machines, etc. And each stage requires a foundation before progressing. So most people rush into explosive movements like the kipping pull-up without a strength base first, okay? So you have to be able to do things strict. You have to be able to do things slow and controlled before you do things fast. Very simple principle to understand, but we're actually going to talk about the actual progressions on this and the science behind it. So the reason why coaches need to understand this is because better program equals better results. Shocker, I know. And what this does, it eliminates guesswork, because now we know how to progress people properly. So we know exactly what each one of our members or clients need at each of their levels. Okay, so someone who's super beginner, we're going to be in that absolute strength a realm for a very long time. Some of them might not even get into anything ballistic. And this is how I've really rechanged and evolve my program design when I'm dealing with my one-on-one clients, is that a ton of them are just here for longevity, and they're just want to live longer, stay out of the nursing home, and be healthy, lower their triglycerides, lower their cholesterol. They just want to be healthier. So we don't really need to do a ton of Olympic lifting. We don't need to do a ton of box jumps. We don't need to do a ton of 100-meter sprints out there. We just simply need to have some front-end strength and some aerobic work. And again, referring back to my last episode there, go back and listen to that one if you haven't already. So this also, like I said earlier, prevents injury, because if you jump into something too advanced training too soon, more likely you are to be injured, and which is bad. So because if you're injured, guess what? You can't train. If you can't train, then you get all cranky. So let's break down the strength continuum. So let's go into absolute strength first. We're just going to go in order. So this is the foundation. So where it falls, it's on the far left. So on the absolute beginning. So if we're reading left to right, obviously this is where we start. So this is slow and heavy contractions. And why this matters is because this builds bone density, lean muscle mass, and longevity. This also creates a strength base needed for power and speed later on, which we'll move into. So the key exercises here when we're talking about absolute strength are deadlift, back squat, bench press, shoulder press, strict pull-up, lunge, you know, etc. So anything slow and controlled like this. So your standard kind of bro 24-hour fitness movements. And who needs this is pretty much every person needs this regardless of where you're training, because this builds strength, just overall strength for me to take on a higher training load later or allow me to do more ballistic movements. And now we're going to move into speed strength. So this is moving heavy loads faster. So this falls into the second step. This is number two. So after we build that absolute strength base, we move into this. And this is where the force production under speed constraints. So this bridges the gap between max strength and power. So the key exercises here, this is where we move into the Olympic lifts, like the power snatch, power clean, clean and jerk. And the people who need this are more competitive athletes. If you're a power athlete or if you're an Olympic weightlifter, obviously you'll need to do snatch and clean and jerk because that's your sport. But for the general population, is this really required? No, but it is fun to include with a strong base. So as long as you have a strong base built, feel free to move into the Olympic lifts, because it does keep training fresh. And believe me, it does get very boring to stay with the traditional squat, deadlift, pull-up, strict press, bench press. That gets very monotonous very quickly. And so adding in the Olympic lifts, definitely, it's really fun to Olympic lift. I haven't met too many people who, once they try it, they don't enjoy it. Now we're going to add into speed strength. So this is lighter loads. This is the third step. And why this matters? This increases explosiveness for sports and injury prevention, and this is essential for high-level athletic performance. So this is where we start adding in, like, touch-and-go reps. All right, so speed reps and moving the Olympic lifts very quickly. Again, if you don't have a front-end strength, you should not be doing this. So touch-and-go hang power clean, touch-and-go hang power snatch, jumping lunges, clapping pull-ups. We're just adding ballistics to the movements, or adding speed to the movements that we already do. And the people who need this are, you know, whoever needs explosive power. So field sports athletes, sprinters, baseball players, any kind of sport where you're jumping or running, or you need to have fast changes of directions, and obviously CrossFitters as well. Now we're going to move into absolute speed, which is the fastest contractions. So this is where it falls on the far right. So this is the very last piece of this. And the reason why it matters is it trains anaerobic power. So this is great for high speed movements. So this is specific to elite athletes in both in sprinting, jumping, and power-based sports. So the key exercises here are just running sprints, assault bike sprints, assault runner sprints, rowing sprints, all that. So the very few people actually need to train for absolute speed. It requires a strong strength base and speed strength first. So you can't move into that without it. And the reason why you want to have I can sprint. Well, yeah, we get it. You can. But if you don't have a base before that, you know, you may not get hurt the first time. But over time, if you don't have a strength base, this is why you get hurt. And then this is also kind of why we see so many ACL tears in, like, younger soccer players, especially in women, is because they don't train strength first. You have no idea how many parents I talk to who they want me to train their kids, or they want to work with me, or someone at my gym. And they're like, well, you know, they really need speed and agility. They need to get faster. I'm like, and then I see that, and like, dude, your kid can't even do 5 air squats. You know, it's like, so, I mean, you're just setting up your child to get injured over the long run. Because, yeah, can they sprint now? Absolutely, because they're young. They're going to get used to it. Over time, though, over all that repetition, they're eventually going to get hurt down the road. So the only way to prevent this is just do the strength continuum. Because so many people I see want to jump straight into the sexy stuff, like the cool stuff, the fast contractions, but their body isn't ready for that and they're not developed for that yet. So I get it. The speed and agility stuff and the ballistic stuff looks really cool. And that's what you will need for your sport. However, if you don't have a strength base first, bad things are going to happen. And also you're weakening your ability to have the speed strength in the first place, or the absolute speed, because you don't have as much muscle mass. So, I mean, a little bit more muscle mass on there. Guess what? The larger the muscle group, the more powerful it can be. Shocker, I know. But moving on. So that was my little rant there. So how coaches can apply this in the strength continuum. So we have a step-by-step progression, and most people should not start with Olympic lifts or sprints, but the progression model goes absolute strength, strength speed, speed strength, and then absolute speed. And then how to build programs around this is that, for example, a general population gym member, they need absolute strength and occasional explosive movements. That's it. That's really all they need. And then if you have a more competitive athlete or you want to move into being a more competitive athlete, that's fine, but you need to establish those first. And then you need to work across the full continuum before moving on. And it just really just depends on the sport that you're training for. And then another example is a CrossFitter. So they need a mix of absolute strength because that is part of the sport. And they also need strength speed and speed strength. But an absolute speed, like a dead sprint 100 meters, they do need that, but they just need some touch points on that. That doesn't mean they need to be their main training zone, but should they still touch on that? Absolutely. And some of the biggest mistakes coaches make early on is programming the Olympic lifts too early. So this is what we see in just the general CrossFit gym problems. And same thing with kipping pull-ups is that they'll bring a newbie in and they'll immediately start throwing on weight on the bar without really knowing what they're doing. And this is also why I don't give away free trials at my gym, is because I'll get someone in brand new. And if there's Olympic lifting that day, well, sorry, looks like you're doing Olympic lifting. And it's a huge waste of my time to go over there with someone on a one-day free trial and neglect other people here who are paying me and have to coach them through an Olympic lift for someone who might not even sign up. So that's why I don't do free trials. Again, that's a whole other podcast. But when people are teach kipping pull-ups or fast movements too quickly, they get injured, they get discouraged, or either that or they just get discouraged because it's so technical. So when you take someone who's been sedentary their whole life and they come in and then they start doing things that are very athletic, that's a recipe for not only discouragement, but injury. And then obviously skipping absolute strength first, this is the number one thing that we see that people get wrong, and they go straight to the fast movements. So you have to have time. And you can't really sprinkle it. I wouldn't even sprinkle in fast movements quite yet until an absolute strength base has been built. And that's going to be depending on the individual. But that's usually a minimum of 90 days if someone's untrained of working on just simply absolute strength. And let's be real, most of the general population do not need to do anything ballistic. They just need to lift weights and they need to do aerobic work. That's it. Sometimes blend in some mixed modal stuff in there every once in a while. But for the most part, that's all they need. And you know, not understanding, also one of the biggest mistakes coaches make is that they don't understand how each stage builds on the previous one. So obviously, as you move through each stage, you can start adding things for variety, but it's not hard to just build an absolute strength base and then move them into Olympic lifting. It's not that hard. You just have to and there's nothing wrong with being in the absolute strength phase and learning technique and mechanics first, because you can always move in to the other stuff and start dabbling in that with lightweight, as long as, you know, you're just working more on mechanics and kind of building the nervous system to get used to it, rather than just throwing them in there and having them go hard and having to touch and go power snatches, you know, when they're not ready for it, because then, you know, their tendons and ligaments also aren't ready for that as well, for the support. Now, some recap of the strength continuum is that strength isn't just about lifting heavy or moving fast. It's about progressing through the continuum and doing it the right way, the right time, and for the right amount of time. And, you know, most coaches miss these key steps in programming because, let's be real, most people don't know how to design a training program in the first place. They just see things on Instagram and they're like, wow, this looks cool. I'm just going to toss it in there. Let's see what happens. So, no, they're... Program is highly individualized. Even though I do run a group training gym, I try to my best to individualize as much as I can. But for the most part, when you think about it, most people need the exact same thing. If they need something more specific, then that's when we move them into some sort of individualized program design or some personal training. I prefer the individualized program design with a little bit of a hybrid style approach, because that way they get some eyes on them. But at the end of the day, as you start progressing in fitness, the more refined your program design needs to be in order for you to still make gains. Because, you know, it's kind of like someone who goes to a boot camp for like 10 years and they're like, wow, I'm not seeing any progress. Well, yeah, because it's just random crap thrown together. It's designed to make you sweat and get the endorphins going because the churn is so high. So because they're just bringing in clients as fast as they can because they know people will leave. So it's just the same thing repeated over and over again. And so that's why we take what we do very seriously here, because at the end of the day, we want to progress people. As soon as they get good at something, we want to challenge them and do something to push them to the next level. And if they don't want that, that's fine. But if they do, we're there, we're ready, and we have the knowledge in order to do that. And this is why some clients stay weak and others get injured. And this is why CrossFit gets such a bad rap, is because, let's be real, CrossFit HQ does not educate gym owners, or they don't even talk about this strength continuum even in their lecture at the CrossFit Level 2 or CrossFit Level 1. Their program design philosophy is simply, well, we haven't done this in a while, so we're doing this. And I didn't even know this until I started taking more advanced courses on program design. And this is such a basic and easy thing to know and to remember that you just simply build a strength base first, then you start adding speed movements. It's really that simple. I mean, there doesn't even need to be four categories technically, especially when you're working with people in the general population. Now, if you're a strength coach at a university, yes, you need to know all this. But if you're just doing the basics and you're working with people who want to just live a longer, healthier life, dude, all you need to do is dab a little bit of CrossFit in there, some mixed modal stuff to keep things fun, add in some aerobic work 2 to 3 times a week and have them lift weights 3 to 5 times a week. That's it. And then that's a recipe for success. Obviously, there's some more minute details in there that go into it. But at the end of the day, that's really all you need to progress and to actually have fun while doing it. And so the key takeaway is stop guessing and start training based on the continuum. Do not fall off that. Do not skip steps. That is the most frustrating thing that I see. And most common thing I see not only coaches do, but athletes do. They're like, well, this looks sexy. I'm going to give it a shot. When really that you are not qualified and you are not physically ready for that yet. I'm sorry, but these are strength and conditioning principles that have been there since the dawn of time, and we will follow them because we know it's proven and it works, and we follow the data, we follow the evidence, and we follow what gives us clarity to begin with. So I hope you found this helpful. So if you don't know where you fall in the strength continuum, or you're not sure, or if you have different goals, feel free to DM me, shoot me a message. I will be more than happy to help you out completely for free. I love doing this. I love helping people. So if you want to go deeper, then just let me know. Again, chat with me in person, and I will definitely give you some help right there. And if you're looking for some sort of individualized program, I'd be more than happy to help you with that as well, just to make sure that you're progressing in the right direction as fast as possible and you aren't spinning your wheels. So if you found this helpful, do me a favor, please leave us a review. We do this completely for free and we just want to keep spreading the good word and the knowledge out there, not only for coaches, but for our clients specifically. I know most of you who listen to this go to my gym, so you guys always know I'm available to chat with you if you have any questions. And it would mean the world to me if you guys did either leave me a review or share this with a friend, because every time I see the numbers go up, it's really motivating me and keeps me motivated to keep making these podcasts and this content for you guys. So that way I can keep spreading the knowledge, because this is something I really want to share with the world. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next one.